plate a potential nugget.
Another theme I wanted to understand from you, Venerable, is this notion of building self-awareness. How do you think about the notion of self-awareness, and how do we as human beings widen our self-awareness and reduce our blind spots? What are some of the things that you would like to share with us in that context?
I think first thing is to recognize that self-awareness is not a religious enterprise. It's a fundamentally, as I've mentioned in the book as well, that all humans are contemplatives by nature. You don't need to have a religious or a spiritual orientation to be that, to do that. And so when we speak of self-awareness, you know, it's a simple desire to better understand our own selves, to better understand our own mental dispositions, behavioral dispositions, and starting with that. And then you build this idea of self-awareness in a manner that deeply informs you, you see, about your own biases, about your own emotional landscapes, about your own chains and fetters that are not allowing you to grow. Then next level, the self-awareness informs you about relational awareness, meaning how do you relate to one another? Because we are social creatures, but there are ways of unhealthy relationships and there are ways of healthy relationships. And if we don't explore this sense of self-awareness, then we are tied into this narrative of just being consumers. We never look beyond transactional relationships. We may label it as loving relationship and caring relationship, but what is actually driving it is simple sense of transactions. What can this person do for me? I am willing to do this for this person, but what can this person give in return? And so this idea that can we ever think beyond that? Because if we cannot think beyond that, then we are not fulfilling, you see, the aspect of human evolution. How do you even continue having transactional relationship with nature at large by destroying the ecosystem? Because unless and until we understand the beauty of non-transactional relationships, which is rooted in this expansive idea of self-awareness, we are trapped. We are curbing our own growth. It's like a self-sabotage. So I don't see a choice, you see. Either you pursue self-awareness or you self-sabotage. There's nothing in the middle.
And you could talk for hours and days about how we do it, but for somebody who's trying to pursue self-awareness, one of the pieces I'm beginning to become aware of is that there are two parts to it. One is about reflecting and understanding yourself better. And the other is also there's an element of gathering feedback from the world around you and opening up blind spots. How do you think about widening the self-awareness?
That's a great question. First thing is, yes, feedback mechanism is useful. But seek feedback from people whom you trust. Don't seek feedback from people that are simply flattering in nature. Or people are just sort of giving you blind compliments in some ways. That's not a feedback. That's just flattery. So having a group of trusted individuals around you, and there's a whole notion of spiritual friendship that I refer to in the book, with this idea of virtuous friends, meaning that these may not necessarily be people that you want to watch a movie with seek to do entertaining things, but these are individuals that you might want to do a nature walk with or have a conversation with. So having those circles of friends is important. The second thing is that when I say that you have to take inventory of already what's there in the mind's landscape, meaning your emotional dispositions, your behavioral dispositions, and so on, recognizing them is just the beginning of things. You see, you recognize them, and then you have to understand which one of these are actually conducive to my sense of well-being. Because what oftentimes happens is, you know, if we deeply believe that anger is what empowers me and therefore it is good for my well-being, we never let go of anger. In fact, we find every opportunity we get to manifest the sense of rage, to manifest the sense of anger. So there's this deep, you know, kind of inquiry that goes as to, is it truly conducive to my sense of well-being and well-being of people around me? If not, how do I begin reducing it or substituting it with some other framework, with some other value, some other emotional state that I believe would be much more useful? And then you start embarking on little experiments to do that. You see? And little experiments are helpful. You know, as I said, that, you know, when we used to run, you know, programs for business schools right after the financial meltdown, you know, nobody in the audience would raise their hand and say, you know, I'm not a kind human being. Everybody believes they're the kindest people on the planet, right? But when you start to sort of go into this mode of inquiry, when was the last time you enacted kindness? Towards whom? What's the frequency with which you manifest kindness? You see? So those are sort of practical experiments by which we can sort of start moving in those particular kinds of directions. Bias is a big thing today. You see? How we perceive the other. You see? And there's, you know, a lot of cultural conditioning, religious conditioning that goes around it. You know, but even for a moment to say, you know, what if I was in their shoe? What if my religion was different? What if my caste was different? What if my economic status, financial status was different? So these are the things that you fundamentally sort of bring in to your sphere of awareness to start moving things around. You never become comfortable. You never become complacent.
Talking about self-awareness, I had an opportunity to speak to Tasha Urich, one of the leading thinkers and researchers in the area of self-awareness.
The reason I call it the meta skill, and this is really important, is that particularly in the workplace, our self-awareness is going to set the upper limit for our success. In other words, you know, think about the best communicator you know, or the best leader you know, or the person who is just the most effective on a long-term basis. They're only as successful as they are self-aware. Because if we're not able to see ourselves clearly, we can't come from a place of values-based behavior. We can't question our assumptions. We can't identify how we're impacting others and change our approach if we need to. So I really see it as kind of the foundational skill, not just to be successful at work, but really to be someone who lives a meaningful, successful, enjoyable life.
She speaks about two types of self-awareness. Internal self-awareness, which is about reflection, mindfulness, and other things we do on our own. The other is external self-awareness, which she says is often orthogonal to what we gather through the internal self-awareness. Do tune into my conversation with Tasha Urich, or look up the curated playlist on self-awareness if this is of interest. You could go to playtopotential.com and find these resources.